Thank you so much. Well, first of all, like, well done. You pronounce Balentis really well.
Oh, I hope I get some of these pronunciations right. So now you grew up in Sardinia, but spent much of your life in Australia. What was it that drew you back to your island birthplace?
Well, I used to work with Aboriginal communities. My background is anthropology. And so seeing how they were attached to the lands, yeah, to the roots.
So would you say they've kind of got like a spiritual connection to land that us modern urbanites are a little bit lacking?
Exactly, that's right. So seeing how Aboriginal are attached to the land, to as a very spiritual way, I felt like I missed that. I really missed. Having worked with Aboriginal communities as an anthropologist, I've noticed their own connection to land in a very spiritual way. And I really missed that. And that's why I decided to come back and to reconnect to my roots. And also my mum and dad were there, and my brother. So I really missed being home.
Your document focuses upon the influence of military testing has had on the lives of the many Indigenous people of Sardinia. Large parts of the island are now off bounds, and there's evidence of hazardous trace elements existing in the soil and the air. Can you tell us a little bit about the sort of impact this has had on the people of Sardinia?
Yeah, I was really surprised to see the beautiful paradise that I grew up in. It's changed so much. Of course, the beaches are always so beautiful and food is always great. But then I've discovered that behind that, nature is doing all this terrible testing of the weapons before going to war. And so, yeah, started this investigation and discovered that people around these areas were suddenly getting cancers and dying of cancers, lymphomas and things like that. And around those areas, especially in Quirra, in a particular dangerous area, babies were starting to born with malformations and dying really young. So I thought, this is not right. What is happening? What is NATO using? And I found shocking similarities with what's happening in countries where the US and NATO has been bombed. So like Afghanistan and Iraq. And so I thought, how can this be possible in Sardinia? And also in these other countries, there is something not right. You know, maybe they're using, you know, bombs that are not conventional, against all the treaties that we signed, that we should use conventional weapons, not unconventional weapons.
What's happened in Sardinia? I mean, Sardinia is now, I believe, was it something like 60% of the military areas in Italy are now in Sardinia, and it has a large amount of national armies that actually congregate in the spaces to do their testing, to practice, you know, using these bombs and have war games. And obviously, this has also been lucrative for the actual Italian military and probably to the sort of side industries. And that has this led to like a long-term political cover-up, that these medical side effects are not being presented because there is an economic interest to sort of maintain these testing sites?
That's right. Yeah, that's why the Italian government doesn't want to let go of these military areas, because they provide to them about 50,000 euros per hour in each exercise, and goes straight to Italy, doesn't touch the Italian region. It's highly lucrative. Yeah. And so they want to stay, and we're fighting for them to be thrown out.
Doing this documentary, did you find you met with resistance from sort of people sort of benefiting from the military testing? Were there efforts to sort of silence the making of the film? Or?
Yeah, we were trying to be really strategic. We were trying to not share too much what we were doing, because we heard some pretty terrible tales of the military trying to arrest people that were trying to protest or go on the radio and go public about what they're doing. So we had some people, some locals that had some sort of benefits, saying, oh, we don't want to talk, we don't want you coming here and spreading lies. And they were like, but the rest of the population, 99%, is actually with me.
Sardinia is such a beautiful place, and it very much relies on its agriculture. It's been a livelihood for thousands of years. So how has that sort of changed in the last sort of 50 years or 60, 70 years?
So, well, we had a really interesting phase where this Arab prince, the Aga Khan, came to Sardinia and discovered this beautiful part of the island. The water was so crystal clear that he called it the Emerald Coast. And so he developed this resort, this conglomerate of beautiful little villages with high-end shopping. And so he transformed the indigenous Sardinians to, you know, a simple agricultural society, to a quite advanced and brought a lot of wealth. And so the funny thing, though, it only stays in that small part of the island, yeah. because the rest, unfortunately, it has the military in large parts of the island. That's why we're trying to promote tourism for all over Sardinia, not just a small part, and definitely not the military.
Now, a lot of this is also about the lingering effects of the toxic emission from ammunition. Can you describe a little bit about sort of some of these? It's sort of like ideas like this depleted uranium, is it uranium and thorium?
Yeah, of course. Like, well, the problem with using, so there are two types of war. There is a conventional war and an unconventional war. So NATO is supposed to use only conventional weapons under conventional war, but unfortunately has been lying to all of us, and that's the shocking part. And it's been using substances that are illegal, they are incredibly toxic and harmful for humans and animals for millennia, because they are radioactives, like depleted uranium and thorium. They used it in Kosovo, in the Balkan Wars, in Iraq, and people have been suffering still today the consequences of that use, which they lied to as well, to the public, saying they didn't use it, but then it was obvious that they did use it and they had to admit it. So even in Sardinia, we've been seeing the same effects. And so it's useless to keep saying that they're not using it when the consequences are exactly the same. And we actually did find traces of these elements in the soil.
I mean, what's interesting too is we're seeing in Sardinia also, similar to what, you know, Lampedusa and Sicily, we're seeing now a lot of refugees arriving in Sardinia. How have the refugees been received in Sardinia?
It has been really tricky. It's a very delicate matter. These poor people are fleeing the,
Libya,
countries.
And
yeah.
Syria, and, yeah.
Absolutely. We're seeing more and more also climate refugees, and it's our fault. We've been impoverished Africa for so many centuries, and it's, again, our fault. Now, we all have responsibility in it. But at the same time, I know, I've seen it. Italy is quite saturated, and it seemed like we've been the only ones really having such huge numbers in the country. And unfortunately, we don't have a strategy of there is something missing there. So a lot of them, unfortunately, don't have jobs. They're just sitting around. There is a rise in criminality, a rise in intolerance because of this criminality.
Yeah,
because
so anti sort of immigration sort of backlash.
There is a huge anti.
And also in Sardinia, is unemployment around double digits, around 12% or something. So
it's
just
huge.
The sort of that threat of, well, it's hard enough getting a job and.
Exactly. So everybody gets defensive.
Yeah.
You know, and likes to blame somebody else's. But I understand the frustration. I get it. You know, we just need a strategy. We need to try to make everybody happy. You know, I know it's hard and it's not as utopistic, but somehow we need to also have humanity and not lose that, because Italians is. That's what we are renowned for.
I mean, it's, yeah. I mean, you're renowned for being open and accepting of this. Yeah, I mean, that. The documentaries that you see on Lampedusa, and that, I mean, they really do show just how much work has, you know, been done.
Exactly.
Harboring these people fleeing from horrific circumstances. So you closed the documentary going back to an act of resistance back in 1969 of the Balantis, who revolted against their land being taken for military testing. Can you tell us a little bit about this historic incident?
Yes, yeah, so I got really inspired when I heard that in 1969, in the middle of Sardinia, a village started resisting against the military, wanted to occupy an area outside the town and to make a military testing facility. And they were like, we're not going to do that. We're going to march so down and we're going to resist, which was really incredible. And so men, women, young people, kids, old people, they're all united to protest this military facility. So I got incredibly excited, and if they can do it, we can do it. We can unite as well, and we can kick the military off the island.
I mean, there's a scene where you were, there's approaches of the mayor of the village, and he seems quite nervous about the sort of recreation.
How funny was that part?
Yeah, I know. Tell us a little bit about that. What?
Yeah, the mayor of this town was quite opposing to doing anything, really. And I think it's just because Sardinian, there is a historical part. Sardinian's been conquered so many times.
Colonized.
Yeah, so they're a bit scared of people from outside. Yeah. Even if they see me that I'm from the outside, even though I'm Sardinian. Mm. But so they're all the time like, so what's your agenda? Why are you here? How are you portraying us? Or they're really scared of us making fun of them or talking about them being bandits and kidnappers, because there is a part of that story to it. There's something there. That's why we had to really say, look, we're doing this for the good of the town, the good of Sardinia. There is really nothing that is exploitative or wanting to make fun, absolutely not. But he was a funny one.